detail. How Lord Krishna saw that this Bhagavad Nanda Maharaj and Nanda Maharaj's associates were in the process of preparing for a big Indra Puja, a very elaborate ceremony involving particularly offering lots and lots of different types of foodstuffs for the pleasure of Lord Indra. Now, Krishna was not happy about that because the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they're actually pure devotees of his, pure devotees of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. And not only pure devotees, but they're the topmost of all pure devotees. And when Krishna saw that here are these great devotees of mine, and now it seems they feel that they need to worship some demigod, some subordinate personality, subordinate to me, who is just organizing different facilities here within this material world, within this material universe. So Lord Krishna was not happy about that. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of our great previous acharyas, he has discussed this pastime, and he says this pastime of the Govardhan Leela, and particularly this aspect of it, how Nanda Maharaj and company were thinking of doing the Indra Puja rather than just take shelter of Krishna himself. But Guru says that this aspect, at least of the pastime, demonstrates the anatta, a particular anatta within Krishna consciousness. Anatta means some misconception, misunderstanding, some wrong idea which someone who is a devotee, actually they're devotees of Krishna, but somehow or other they may develop some mistaken understanding of things, and this can set them back in their efforts in Krishna consciousness. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in regard to this, how Nanda Maharaj and his associates were thinking that they should worship Lord Indra in order to get rain, because they're farming people dependent on rainfall. But rather than just take shelter of Krishna and depend on Krishna, we should take shelter of the demigod. This illustrates the anatta of thinking that it is better to take shelter of a demigod or demigod worship in general, rather than just take shelter of Krishna. So Krishna was not happy about this, and he wanted to change their minds so that they would give up this idea. But he didn't want to just come out just directly in front of them and say, listen devotees, you should just worship me because I am the Supreme Lord and I'll look after you. He didn't want to do that because in Vrindavan there's a very special phenomenon. It is called Yoga Maya. In the material world, there is something which is related in certain respects. It is called Maha Maya. Maya means illusion, and Maha, of course, means great. Within this material world, there's this great illusion that we're all independent persons, we can do what we like, and just try to enjoy life in this world. This is a big illusion. It's not true. Because actually we're the eternal servants of the Lord. And we should try to reawaken our relationship with Krishna. So that's what is going on here in this material world. But in the spiritual world, particularly in Goloka Vrindavan, the topmost part of the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, there is another form of Maya. It is called Yoga Maya. Again, Maya means illusion. So there's some misunderstanding in a certain sense. But it is Yoga Maya. Yoga means which connects us with Krishna. Links us with Krishna. And in other words, in Goloka Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani, Nanda Maharaj, and the Vrindavasis, they are not really aware that Krishna is God. They think he's just a village boy, one of the local children. Although he is a very amazing one of the local children, but still he's one of the local children and he's not God. And on this basis, they have very amazing, loving relationships with him. Because where there is awe and reverence and formality like this, how can there be intimacy and love and closeness? So, in order to increase the love and increase his own pleasure in the loving relationships, Krishna puts the inhabitants of Vrindavan in the spiritual world under the influence of this Yoga Maya, so they forget he's God. And they think he's just the most wonderful young boy. And in this way they have the most amazing loving exchanges. So Krishna didn't want to disturb this by just declaring, look, listen, I'm God, okay. So don't worship Indra. He's subordinate to me. Just worship me. And then they all start worshiping him and praying to him and in a ceremonial sense relating with him. But the intimacy of the loving relationships that he's a village boy, he's one of us, and we love him and he loves us, that would be lost. In fact, there's an interesting discussion between Upananda, who's one of Nanda Maharaj's brothers, and Nanda Maharaj. Upananda called a meeting of the whole village. Somehow, he had got the idea that Krishna is God and he's not just a little village boy. So he called a meeting and he said, you know, there's this very important matter, extremely important. You know, we all think Krishna's an ordinary little child here in the village. Well, I have news for you, it is not true. He is actually the Supreme Lord. He is the Supreme Truth, the Supreme Pure, the Supreme Powerful. So, Mother Yashoda, you must stop tying him up with rope and waving a stick at him and chasing after him. You must stop, because he's a very big person, important person. And Nanda Maharaj, you must stop wagging your finger at Krishna and chastising him and telling him off. You must stop this, because he's a very important person. And Nanda Maharaj interrupted and said, wait a minute, wait a minute. Just hang on. You don't know him like I know him. You think this boy, Krishna, you think he is the supreme truth? That's ridiculous. Let me tell you, this boy is a liar. How can he be the supreme truth? He steals the butter and we catch him. And we tell him, ha, you stole the butter. And he says, no, 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 it wasn't me, I didn't steal anything. He steals the gopi's clothes and we catch him. And he denies everything. So he's not the supreme truth, he's just a big liar. And you say he's the supreme powerful. But at night, if there's a thunderstorm, he comes running into my room, jumps into my bed, and tells me, Peter, Peter, I'm afraid, protect me. So he's not the supreme powerful. You don't understand. And you think he's the supreme pure. Well, I've got news for you. He is really dirty. His mother bathes him, and within 5 minutes he's rolling in the dust, and he's dirty again. And she has to bathe him again. Several times a day she has to bathe him. So he's not the supreme pure. You don't understand. He's just my son. And if he does some nonsense, I'll correct him. So you see, it's very intimate. Loving relationships are there between Krishna and the bridge buses, and they're not really aware that he's God. So Krishna had to convince them now that don't worship Indra, but you should worship me without exactly saying it. So later on, we'll have a little drama which shows how Krishna presents things. But basically what he did, at one point at least, he manifested in gigantic form on top of Govardhan Hill. And somehow, mystically, everyone could understand that this gigantic form is Govardhan. Plus, it's also Krishna. Mystically, they got that idea. And everyone bowed down to this gigantic form of Govardhan, which was sort of hovering above Govardhan Hill. And everyone bowed down, and Krishna bowed down. So even though they could understand that this is a form of Govardhan, plus it's a form of Krishna, somehow it didn't register completely. And Krishna convinced them that instead of worshipping Indra, we should worship Govardhan Hill. Because Govardhan Hill is sustaining us. We're living by protecting the cows. We're living from the dairy products, from the cows. So we're not really dependent on Indra. We are dependent on the cows. It is by the mercy of the cows that we are living. And the cows, how are the cows living? The cows are living from the grass on Govardhan Hill. So we're dependent on the cows, but the cows are dependent on Govardhan Hill. So instead of worshipping Indra, we should do big Govardhan Puja. And everyone agreed. So they took all the foodstuffs which had been gathered for an offering to Lord Indra. And they made massive food offering in front of Govardhan Hill. And on Govardhan Hill, would you believe it, there were piles, mount like sub-mountains of different preparations and different places on Govardhan Hill. Like, there was a ridge on Govardhan Hill, a ridge of burfi. Do you like burfi? and his mother's birthday. And after the pastime, that ridge became known as Burfi Ridge. Then there was another, like a little sort of hillock at some point on the other downhill, that was covered. Would you believe that was covered in Gadra? And afterwards, and if you meet local people who know, they'll tell you, they can point out, see over there, that was Gadra Hillock. You see? And there were waterfalls of ghee, lakes of yogurt, and rivers of milk. And afterwards, all these different features of Gadra Hill, they became known by those names. And like we say, those who are in the know, they still know about this and what is what. And there were lakes of sweet drinks, cool sweet drinks with saffron. Very nice. And you could dive in and drown in the sweet drinks. What a way to go. So like this, they gathered all these amazing, like, lakes of Mundal, piles of kachoris. Oh yeah. And piles of samosas, many different types of samosas, many different types of kachoris. And they even had South African sweet corn and panya kachoris, which you don't get anywhere else. It is South Africa's great contribution to Vaishnava culinary culture. Yes. But they had, and Mundal kachoris, and potato kachoris, and peas and panya kachoris, and cauliflower and peas samosas. We know we're not disturbing any of you, but don't worry, there'll be a feast in a while. And of course, as we always say every year and don't mind, many types of beans. And beans you've never heard of in South Africa. Yes. So then, this gigantic form of the Lord manifested on top of the hill and ate everything in a second. Well, if not a second, a few seconds. He had multiple arms reaching out simultaneously and bringing in different preparations, and all different preparations at the same time. Can you imagine some rice with some nice dal and nice sabji, and with it some rubbery? Do you know what rubbery is? You don't know. What's wrong with you? You've wasted 25% of your life. Anyway, shall we say, nice laddu. We're familiar with laddu. And that was mixed in with the rice and dal and sabji. And this gigantic form of the Lord was just eating and ate everything in a few seconds. Many different types of rotis, including famous South African horrible rotis. Right? Thank you. which was something I had to learn about South African Indian culture. Devotee, on the first day I was in South Africa, the devotee came up to me and said, "You know what happened? She hit me on the head with a can of oil." That compute that. So no oil roti. Well, they had oil rotis and different chapatis. And it all got consumed in a few seconds, along with different drinks also. Wow, it's just astonishing. And then that gigantic form of the Lord cried out. You know what he cried out? Anyor! 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 What did he cry out? It means, give me more food. But if you cry out like you did, well, maybe you'll get an extra samosa. But you wouldn't get a lot. So what did he cry out, actually? Aniyo! 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 So he ran back and gathered whatever ingredients they had left at home and came and made another big offering. And again he consumed it in seconds. And again he called out, what did he call out really?
Aniyah! Aniyah! Aniyah!
But they had no more. And Nandaraj was in great anxiety. We gave up the Indra Puja to do this Govardhan Puja. But Govardhan is not satisfied. So our puja is a failure. What will happen to us? Then Lord Balaram, the crest jewel of the intelligent, he took one little tulsi leaf, climbed up Govardhan Hill, gave it to that gigantic form of the Lord who ate it, and the Lord was fully satisfied. And no more aniyor. So everyone was happy. The Govardhan Puja was successful. Govardhan was happy. Then they went on Govardhan Parikrama. They went all the way around singing songs of Krishna. And it's a beautiful song. It's in Gopal Champu. It's like a responsive song. Some devotees would sing one part, the other devotees would respond. Who killed Putana? Krishna. Who killed Agasura? Krishna. Who killed Vatsasura? Krishna. And so many different pastimes. Who did this? Who did that? Krishna. And they're so satisfied. They went around the hill. The next day, so everything finished off in the evening. They were so happy. The next day was the Dwitiya, the second day of the moon, of the rising moon, in the middle of the month of Kartik. And the next day is called Ratri Dwitiya. Bharatri means brother. On that day, all the gopis cook for Krishna and the cowherd boys and serve them directly. Normally, the gopis can't have anything to do with Krishna or the cowherd boys. But on the Bharatri Dutiya, they had to cook for them and serve them personally. And who was there starring in the prasadam taking? Because you know, sometimes devotees, they get invited to other devotees' houses in order to have a feast. On Srila Prabhupada's centenary, 96, one of our devotees, I will not mention his name, he took a vow to have a feast every day in a different congregation family's house. I will not mention his name. He is probably present with us. And he did it. So some devotees like to do that, but some devotees don't. They don't want to eat too much because maybe they have some digestive condition or something. So when they get invited, they don't want to refuse, but they take some prasadam specialist with them. And he just really takes enough prasadam. And the other devotee doesn't want to eat too much. You can just take a little. And the hosts are satisfied because the one devotee, he really got into it very seriously. So, in Krishna's company, that devotee is Madhumanga. And he just took enough for 10 devotees at least. And just relishing and relishing. And at the end, you can read it in our book. Here's our book, by the way. We're speaking today from our book. And we have all the copies here. So he told Krishna, he said, you know, I have heard you are omnipotent. You can do what you like. So my request to you, this is my request to you as a Brahmin. In other words, you have to do it. My request is, you must declare every day to be Bhratri Dutiya. I want every day to be Bhratri Dutiya, so we can have a big feast cooked by the gopis. So this is my favorite day in the year. So everyone was happy. Everyone was extremely happy. However, unfortunately, there was one person who was not happy at all. And that person was Lord Indra. Is Lord Indra present? He said, oh, look, there's Lord Indra. Everyone was completely happy except Lord Indra. And in the Bhagavatam, 10, 25, 3, Lord Indra expresses his extreme dissatisfaction with Krishna. Just see, here's the verse. And just see, just witness the fierce anger and pride, see, of Lord Indra. Vachalam valisham snabdam ajyam panita maliram Krishna martyam upashritya govane chakra apriyam. These cowherd men have acted inimically toward me by taking shelter of this ordinary human being, Krishna, who thinks himself very wise, but who is simply a foolish, arrogant, over-talkative child. Just see how fiercely angry is going on. Completely beside himself. He's about to just dissolve with anger. So, actually, Sridhar Swami, one of our great acharyas, he explains that even though Lord Indra appears to be criticizing Krishna, actually he's glorifying Krishna. When he says that Krishna is an ordinary human being, what it really means is that Krishna's supreme pastimes are those in which he appears to be an ordinary human being, even though he's the Supreme Lord. He says that Krishna is arrogant. Stubda literally means he does not bow down. But this is because Krishna is God. He has no one to bow down to. But I think everyone should bow down to him. He says that Krishna is Pandita Malina. He thinks he's a big pundit. But Malina also means jewel. He is the jewel amongst the pundits. So even though our Indra, so wildly angry, just ready to smash everything, even though he was so angry, actually he was glorifying Krishna. So then Indra decided, right, revenge. These people did not worship me. What an offense. They must all die. They must all die. So then Lord Indra called the Samvartika clouds, many different types of devastating clouds which can destroy, which do destroy the universe at the end of the universe. There was a huge cloud looking like an elephant. See? Looking cloud. There was another massive cloud looking like a serpent. There were clouds that looked like crocodiles. There were clouds the color of moss. And they all came in. Wow, look at that. They were so dense, even a sharp axe could not cut through them. So those terrible, fierce clouds were ordered by Indra, go to Chatsworth, no, go to Vrindavan. Well, this is Vrindavan. We are in Vrindavan here with Radharama, with Govindanath Hill. We are in Vrindavan. So Indra ordered them, go to Vrindavan and stop by Chatsworth on the way. And just inundate it completely. So then they started moving around and pouring rain. It was devastating. Just inundating everything and everyone. So the people were harassed by hail stones bigger than elephants. Imagine one of them landing on your car. And the rain was falling in pillars.
We should have the sound effects.
So devastating rainfall in Vrindavan. And there were even musical effects. So then all the bridge buses took shelter of Krishna. They all took shelter of Krishna. They all took shelter of Krishna. Krishna, Krishna! Oh, most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the anger of Indra. Oh Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees, please save us also. And Krishna replied, I must protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter, I am their master, and indeed, they are my own family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. So then Krishna amazingly lifted Govardhan Hill on the little finger of his left hand, singing in the Govardhan King. Shri Shri Radha Givin Hari King. Shri Govardhan Puja Mahotsava King. So Krishna was standing there holding the hill, and the Brijvasis all went under the hill and took shelter there. On the hill, there were lions, transcendental lions, and they attacked the clouds, and they were tearing the clouds to pieces, just like lions tear elephants to pieces. So, those clouds were pouring and pouring and pouring. But under the hill, the British busies were very happy. There were beautiful palaces and beautiful pastures for the cows. Everything was very nice under the hill. And everyone just stood there looking at Krishna. Just looking at Krishna. And let's see what happened next. So all the devotees, well, the clouds were pouring and pouring and pouring on the whole of Vrajmandala. It was incredible. They were pouring and pouring until they had no water left. Then they had to run off to the oceans and collect more water and then come back and then pour out for more water and pour and pour and pour. And then they ran out of that and they had to go back and get some more. And some of the clouds, when they came back again, they were exhausted. They just couldn't pour anymore. And they appealed to Lord Indra, please, let us stop. We are going to die. We are going to die. So Indra was not very happy. See, very unhappy Indra. Okay, so like this, under the hill, all sorts of wonderful exchanges were going on. Madhu Mangal, he was watching Krishna. Madhu Mangal was watching Krishna. Yes. And we could see Mother Yashoda was in anxiety. Where's Mother Yashoda? Anyway, we could see Mother Yashoda was in anxiety. And Mother Mangal told Mother Yashoda, don't worry, I have chanted special mantras to give him special shakti, so he'll be able to hold the hill, it's no problem. Then Krishna, he's holding the hill with the little finger of his left hand. With his right hand, he took out his acclaimed flute and put it to his lips. Yes, put it to his lips. He was just about to start playing the flute, and Madhu Mangal panicked. Don't play the flute! Stop immediately! Because when you play the flute, hard things melt. And liquid things like rivers become hard. So if you play your flute, this hill may melt on top of us. And what will we do then? So don't play the flute, whatever you do. So Krishna put away the flute. Then some of the gopis were looking at Krishna. And they told Radharani, whatever you do, do not give Krishna a sidelong glance. Because when you give Krishna sidelong glances, it affects his heart so drastically, he starts shaking uncontrollably. And then he may drop the hill. We got any gopis? Yeah, so they told Radharani, don't, whatever you do, don't give Krishna a sidelong glance. Did we explain to you about the sidelong glances before? We didn't. Are you going to watch this? Just watch me for a minute, okay? A few seconds. Sidelong glance means that if you're a gopi, and when Krishna is there, your father, if you're a gopi, your father is watching you to see if you look at Krishna. And if you look at Krishna for 1 second, you're in very big trouble. Very big trouble. So the gopis are experts in sidelong glances. They're looking at their father. See? She's looking at her father now. Okay. Just look at someone. See? But now she's going to glance at Krishna so quickly that her father will not see. Now, try it. See, she's not practiced. She is not practiced, but we are practiced. Just watch this. I will demonstrate a sidelong glance, okay? A very fast sidelong glance, which Radharani and the gopis, they use. See, they looking at their fathers. This is my father here, you see. And they don't just glance like, you know, because that wouldn't work. They have to glance so quickly that even though the father is watching, the father doesn't see that they look to Krishna and now they're looking back. So you just watch my eyes, see if you can see my sidelong glance, because I've practiced it. So are you watching? Are you watching? Yeah? Did you see that? You didn't see, did you? You didn't see. So, the good gopis are expert at sidelong glances. But one of the gopis told Radharani, don't look at Krishna. Because if you do, give him a sidelong glance, it will bewilder him. And he'll start shaking, he'll lose control, he may drop the hill, and then we're finished. So don't look at Krishna. But then Radharani, secretly, under her cloth, that she, her veil, she sent a very sweet sidelong glance at Krishna, very gently. That's it. And Krishna managed, okay. So Krishna was looking around at all the bridge busings. And all the bridge busings are looking at Krishna. And so Krishna is relishing seeing all my different devotees in different, who I have different types of relationships with. They're all here with me together. Normally Krishna, in the morning he's at home with his parents, during the day he's in the forest with the cowherd boys, in the afternoon, in the evening he's meeting the gopis, he's with one group at a time, at the different times in the day. But now, here are all the devotees with him, simultaneously. See, look, there they are. That's you. All the devotees just looking at Krishna. And Krishna's relishing having loving exchanges with all of them at the same time. So Krishna was looking around, and then he saw the beauty of the gopis. So yeah, there's some gopis over there.
Another gopi.
And they were so stunningly beautiful. You know, you think that who? Aishwarya. You think she's beautiful? She is Miss Plain Jane compared to Radharani and the gopis. You think, who are you? I know I'm in touch. Madhuri Dixon, is she around? She's sort of middle aged now. You think she's beautiful? Forget it. Yeah, she's just a joke. Compared to the gopis. Who's a famous Bollywood female actress nowadays? Don't know? You don't know? Well, that's very good. So, Krishna saw the gopis and their beauty, which is just a reflection of their love. It's not just that they're, you know, nice looking women. Their beauty is just a manifestation of their love. And Krishna, seeing their beauty, seeing their love, Krishna started shaking. See? Shaking. Yeah, really shaking. Shivering, shaking. And everyone panicked. The hill was going up and down. Everyone panicked. He's going to drop the hill. But they didn't understand why he was shaking. But Balaram, the older brother, do we have Balaram? Okay. He's multi. Balaram, the older brother, went in front of Krishna and gave him a really good older brother's look. Come, younger brother, pull yourself together. I'm your older brother. Get it together. Come on. And Krishna pulled himself together and held the hill very nicely. Balaram understood what had happened, but nobody else. So, after 7 days and 7 nights, the rain stopped. And all the clouds dispersed. And Vrindavan became like usual, very green and beautiful. And then Lord Indra came, thinking, let me see the devastation which I have caused. And he was thinking, this is going to be great. There are going to be dead bodies everywhere. How wonderful. All these offenders punished. And there will be so much wreckage and houses destroyed and trees destroyed and huge floods. Ha, ha, ha. I will have taught these bridge buses a good lesson. So he came though, and he saw that Vrindavan was like usual. The cows were dancing. Madhu Mangal was dancing, cracking jokes, and the gopis were singing very beautiful songs, and everything was just fantastic. It was amazing. There was not even any flooding. And Indra saw this, and Indra thought, what has happened? And he became completely bewildered. Totally bewildered. Who is this Krishna? Some say that he's God. I thought it was all a lot of nonsense. But maybe it's true. So he became bewildered and went away. Deep in thought. After Krishna put down Govardhan Hill, all the bridge buses were celebrating. How wonderful Krishna is! And someone was saying, saying, oh, Krishna did great, speaking to Madhu Mangal. And Madhu Mangal said, yes, Krishna did wonderfully. He held the hill. Actually, it was mainly me with my Brahminical mantras. But still, Krishna did okay. He did good. He did nice. And then, someone was glorifying Krishna to the older men. And Krishna held the hill for 7 days, 7 nights. That was amazing. And the older men said, yeah, that was great. It was mainly us with our sticks. We were holding the hill from underneath. But still, Krishna did well. And someone was glorifying Krishna to Mother Yashoda. He held the hill so nicely. And Mother Yashoda said, yes, he did okay. He did good. He's a good boy. It was mainly me and my friends. We were massaging his finger and his arm and his hand. That was the main thing. But still, he did very nicely. So now, Indra, in complete perplexity, in total anxiety, what had I done? That was really Krishna, that Krishna from up there, not the one from Unit 2, Chatsworth, who everybody calls Chris, or the one from Unit 6, who everyone calls Krish. Was that the actual real Krishna from up there, in Goloka? Could it have been? Have I made a terrible, terrible mistake? Oh no! Is it possible? Then an amazing thing happened, which you all devotees are not aware of. As Indra was lamenting back on Indraloka, a yaksha came. A yaksha. A messenger from Kamsa. Kamsa, the demon king. And that yaksha said to Indra that, I have this message from Kamsa. Now, of course, Kamsa was the great enemy of Indra. Kamsa defeated Indra in battle. Oh yeah, Kamsa was a very powerful demon. And they were like lifelong enemies. So the yaksha said, Kamsa has a message for you. I have brought it. He wants to thank you very much for what you have done attacking Krishna. Kamsa would like you to know that he is very pleased with you for attacking Krishna and trying to kill Krishna. Kamsa thinks, this is wonderful. And Kamsa now wants to become your devotee. And Indra was thinking, what? My enemy wants to become my devotee because I attacked Krishna? Oh no! And the yaksha said, don't worry that the bridge buses did not do Indra Puja for you. Don't worry, we will do Indra Puja for you. Kamsa and all his demon friends, and then the yaksha left. And now Indra understood, it is a fact. That was the Krishna from up there, the Lord of Vrindavan. And I tried to kill him. And I tried to kill Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda and Srimati Radharani, all the greatest devotees, and I tried to kill them. And all the cows, what can I do? And then Kamsa decided, there is nothing I can do. I must end it all right now. So Kamsa picked up his dual-handled dagger. See? Dual-handled dagger. And was just about to drive it into his heart. where his priest and spiritual master who has when he came. And told him, "What do you think you're doing, you fool? You want to commit suicide? Don't bother. You're already worse than dead. You tried to kill Krishna of all the British verses. You are finished. You've had it. Sorry. See you later." Then Indra went chasing after Brihaspati. "You've got to help me. Help me. What can I do, please? Tell me, what can I do?" And Brihaspati told Indra, "When such abominations occur, only Lord Brahma can help. No one see Lord Brahma." And so Indra went off to Brahmaloka, and there he met Lord Brahma with four heads. Okay, yeah, here comes Lord Brahma. And Indra tried to act all nonchalant, like, "Everything's basically cool. I have a bit of a problem, but it's okay." And he said, Indra said to Lord Brahma, "But I heard that recently you offended Krishna a bit. You stole this cow and boys and calves." And Brahma said, "Yes, that's a fact." And Indra said, "I heard that you spoke to Krishna in such a way that Krishna forgave you." And Brahma said, "Yes." And Indra said, "You know, I have a similar problem right now with Krishna." Yeah, and Brahma said, "I heard about it. You think what I did was bad? It was nothing compared to what you did. I just stole the cowherd boys and calves. You tried to kill them. When such offenses happen, wise people block their ears and go away." So the Brahma told Indra, and Indra said, "You got to help me. Tell me what to do. Give me some advice." And Brahma said, "Sorry, can't help you. You're finished." So Indra fell at the lotus feet of Lord Brahma and begged him, "Please, you got to help me. You've got to help me. Give me some advice. Tell me what to do." And Lord Brahma said, "Okay. On your planet, you have a Surabhi cow from the Loka Vrindavan. Krishna is very fond of the Surabhi cows. So you go to Krishna at Govardhan Hill with the Surabhi cow in front of you, and then Krishna will be merciful." So Indra agreed. Lord Brahma left. See, Lord Brahma? He's short of one of his heads. So then Indra went back to Indraloka and told the Surabhi cow, "You're going to come with me to go downhill and help me get Krishna to forgive me." And the Surabhi cow said, "After what you did to all my family members there in Vrindavan, you want me to help you? You tried to kill all my family members. I'm not going to help you." And Indra just begged and begged the Surabhi cow. And the Surabhi cow eventually agreed. And they went down to Govardhan Hill. And here they are at Govardhan Hill, Lord Indra and the Surabhi cow. And then they saw Krishna. Surabhi said, "Look, there's Krishna. He is smiling on us with such a merciful glance. Oh, just go and approach him." So Indra went and fell at the lotus feet of Krishna and cried tears on Krishna's lotus feet. Those tears looked like diamonds on the lotus toenails of Krishna. And then Krishna did a very amazing thing. Krishna did a very amazing thing. Let's see. Yes, Krishna did a very amazing thing. Krishna said, To Indra's surprise, Lord Krishna said, "Oh, my dear king of the demigods, what is this great fatherly mercy which you're showing to me? Because I'm just a child, I'm ignorant. And if I stopped your sacrifice, still you've come here to shower your mercy on me. You see how kind Krishna is. Even though Indra committed terrible offenses, but when Indra approached Krishna very humbly, then Krishna forgave him." So then they went to go with the court. And they had big abhishek, big bathing ceremony for Krishna. See, there's Govindakund just down here. Right. And everyone who was anyone in the universal administration was there. Lord Brahma was there, Lord Shiva was there, Agni was there, the seven sages were there, the universal mothers were there. Say, here we go. All the sacred rivers and lakes and kunds and the seven seas were there. They were all there. And they did big abhishek for Krishna. Big abhishek. And all the liquids formed what is now Govinda Kund. And then Agni offered Krishna arati. He offered the incense, the agarbatti. With a massive agarbatti, it was at least 3 meters long and 30 centimeters thick. Did you ever see an agarbatti like that at Holy Vibes? This is real serious agarbatti. And then Lord Brahma picked up the chamara. It was massive, solid gold handled, encrusted with jewels. And he offered that chamara to Krishna. And then Lord Shiva, in a five-headed form, picked up the peacock fan. Huge peacock fan and fanned Krishna. It was just so amazing and so beautiful. And then in the end, all the demigods just left the paraphernalia on the ground and just went away. And Lord Indra was looking at Krishna and was wondering, "Can I go now?" And he said to Krishna, "Is it okay? Have you forgiven me?" And Krishna just looked at him and gestured with his head. "You can go. Just hit the road, Jack." And then Krishna was still there. Then the cowherd boys came. All the cowherd boys came and they saw all the amazing paraphernalia. Look at that! And Madhi Mangal picked up that huge agarbatti. He had to use both hands and he was struggling to hold it. And he somehow offered arati to Krishna with it. And his friend, another cowherd boy, picked up the chamara with both hands because it was so heavy he could hardly hold it. And he was waving it at Krishna. And another cowherd boy picked up the peacock fan with both hands and somehow he was almost falling over but he was waving it at Krishna. And then Nanda Maharaj came. And Nanda Maharaj
Maharaj of the Maharaj. Maharaj
is the
Maharaj.
This is going to be a tough one.
And they asked Madhu Mangal, "What's going on here? Where did you get their massive underbody. Where did you get it? And where did he get that huge chowder? And where did he get? Where did he get that massive peacock feather? And Madhu Mangal said,
this man with four heads, a man with fire out of his head, a man with this big crown on him. And a
talking cow.
And a talking cow was talking to Krishna.
Wow. And Madhu Maharaj thought they'd been out in the sun too long. And that is the end of the Govardhan Leela. How's that? You know, you can walk around Govardhan Hill. It takes 5 hours if you don't stop, and if you walk quite fast. If you take your time, it may take 8 hours or even a bit more, 10 hours. You can do Dandavat Parikrama, bowing down, and then wherever your hands ended up, you're prostrating yourself on the ground. Wherever your hands end up, then your feet, you offer dandavats from where your hands were, and you go around, it takes 3 months, or something like that. You can even, you know what you can do? You can do dandavat parikrama 108 times in each place before you move. You know, how's that? That takes a few years, a good few years. There are different ways of doing it. Or we can get in the car and zip around in about half an hour. So we'll do an express going down Parikrama here. We're going to start at Radhakun Shalakun, the liquid forms of Radha and Krishna. So wonderful. Radha and Krishna were meeting together. They were in so much ecstasy. Their bodies melted and became the waters of Radhakund and Shamakund. And therefore, if you want to take bath there, you have to get permission from the spiritual master. You can't just go and jump in, because you are contacting the bodies of Radha and Krishna. Then we come around a little further. There's a place that's not depicted here. You have to look in the book. It is, what's it called? It's called something. Yugal Swarup. Radhakanta Yugal Swarup temple. Nice little temple with nice little deities. And then you come a little further. And next stop is Kusum Sarova. And there you may meet some gopis at Kusum Sarova.
Describes in his book entitled
Sri Krishna Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13. Now Krishna once confronted the gopis here and demanded of them,
"Mothers of the forest, who are you? Tell me who you are. You have two flowers in my garden, and now I will find out who you are.
This unexpected response astonished Krishna, imbued as it was with their amazing loving emotions, primarily bashfulness, restlessness, and fear. Is there a poet in this world who can make a comparison between their affectionate feelings and those of ordinary people of this world? And what to speak of those endeavoring for impersonal realization? When the Lord heard their reply, his mind cried in the tears of his heart, which was already pierced by the arrows of their sidelong glances, became afflicted even more by internal arrows fired by Cupid. He tried to hide his feelings, but the shimmering of his body revealed them to the gopis. Despite that, he proudly declared, which could not be dissipated by his bright, shining, moonlight face. It seemed like the moon was being defeated by the darkness of night. Srimati Radharani then attacked Krishna violently. Her first blow came from her invented eyebrows. Her second, from her fresh, nectarian smile. And her third, from her unfavorable shouts made with faltering voice. Krishna drank that nectar through the cups of his eyes and ears and became enchanted by it. If this affected him so deeply, in what condition would he find himself when he experienced the sweetness of her lotus like touch?
Can we just come forward in material beings? Please come forward because there are people outside here. Come forward. We will not bite you. You are vegetarian. So come forward. So there we were, was a sarova, which means the lake of flowers. And we carry on from there. Kusum Sarova, this is where Purnamasi dipped Narada Muni in the water, Kusum Sarova. Narada Muni came out as a goji called Naradi. So, gentlemen, you must be careful if you go to Kusum Sarova. But then afterwards, she dipped him in Narada Kund, which is just down the road, and he transformed back into Narada Muni. Then we come along Govardhan Hill. We pass Yugal Kund. We push the samadhi of Tribhuvanath Prabhu, very amazing disciple of Srila Prabhupada who passed away a few years ago. Very wonderful devotee. You know, Prabhupada, there's a number of Prabhupada's disciples who have passed away. You may have heard of Yamuna, the famous cook. Yamuna, she passed away not long ago. Then more recently was, what was his name? Madhu Dvisa Prabhu passed away. There's a famous conversation of Madhu Dvisa and Yamuna where they're arguing about Krishna and Balaram. And Madhu Dvisa is saying, Krishna and Balaram, they're the same, the difference in color, but they're the same otherwise. And then Yamuna was saying, no, they're not the same because Krishna is the only enjoyer of Radharani, so they're not the same. So Tamala Krishna Goswami took them to Prabhupada. And he explained, with them present, he explained to Prabhupada, Madhu Dvisa says, Krishna and Balaram are the same, there's a difference in color, but it doesn't really matter, they're the same. And Prabhupada said, he's right. And then Tamala Krishna Goswami said, however, Yamuna says that they're not the same because Krishna is the only enjoyer of Radharani and Balaram is not. And Prabhupada said, she's right. And Tamala Krishna Goswami said, but Prabhupada, they can't both be right. And Prabhupada said, you're right. And Tamala Krishna Goswami said, well, Prabhupada, how can we understand the truth? And Prabhupada said, you decide. In other words, it's okay, don't worry about it. It's not important. So we're walking down here, and we pass the Pushpa Samadhi at Tribhuvanath Prabhu. It's just down here. Such a nice devotee, I knew him very well. And then we come down Panchatirtha Kund, which is normally not accessible. You have to sort of, you know, make some arrangement to get in. And then you come to Manasi Ganga, the Ganges which came from Krishna's mind. And when you're at Manasi Ganga, you may also meet lizard.
The crocodile.
You may also meet some good beings, or you may not too. And then you pass by Manasi Ganga through Grover downtown, and you come to the area called Dangati, the area of the tax collecting pastimes. And there, I think you're more likely to meet some gopis. And Krishna even, and the cowherd boys.
Hare Krishna, this beautiful pastime happened at Dangati, where Srimati Radharani and four gopi friends are going to deliver dairy products for use in a sacrifice. And there she meets with Krishna and his friends, and they demand an exorbitant payment in order to allow the gopis to cross to the outside. This is how the story unfolds. While walking past Manasi Ganga, Srimati Radharani and the gopis looked upon Govardhan Hill and they saw Krishna and his friends. Srimati Radharani trembled and she said,
"Cousin, like the moon, he can dispel all darkness and evil. No person is on the summit of Govardhan Hill."
Brenda Devi mildly chided Radharani.
"Whatever you see, never act as you've never seen me before. Is Krishna really a different person? I see you."
Then some cowherd boys, headed by Subala, tried to stop the gopis.
"Aha! We have heard about you gopis trying to sell your butter on the black market. Don't you know you have to pay a toll to the toll master?"
The girls walked away.
"Hey, come back! You have to pay a toll."
"Degraded flesh eater, why should we turn back because of you?" Then Krishna came onto the scene and the gopis were forced to stop, externally acting as if they were frightened. And Vrindadevi smiled and said to Krishna,
"Your chest is broad and tough. Your waist is like a lion's waist. Your eyes are like tiger's eyes. Please tell me, why should Radha not gaze at you with frightened
eyes?" Lalita Devi did not appreciate this and said,
"What meaning can the word have for us if our prince of Raj has taken a vow to take us all in Gokula?"
Then the negotiations became jovial and Madam Mangal gave it a new twist.
"Oh, do you think we really want to take tolls from you gopis? We are just humble representatives of the great King Kamadev. We are his councilmen, Madam Mangal, Balaram, Subal, and of course, Krishna, the chief collector. I've never heard of this king who bears the name Kamadev."
Krishna and his friends started approaching to attack the gopis and rob them. The atmosphere became a little bit more peaceful when Madhu Mangal decided to show his prowess at finance and at economics.
"Friend, the butter that these gopis make is very, very sweet. The proper toll is usually 3 tuppers for 1 tucker, 3 tuppers of gold for 1 tucker of butter. But because these gopis are
under the protection of the global bureaucracy, then I think that we should make sure that it's one tag for them.
My dear friend, four tagas equals one karsa. Four karsas equals one pala. 100 palas equals 20 tulas. And 20 tulas equals one vara. For each of you Gopri girls, for your yogurt pots and butter pots, you're owed one vara. Well, we also have to pay a commission fee for the toll collector, his counselors, and me, of course. So adding it all up together, you owe 1,800,000 gold coins!
Krishna then smiled and said,
but I think we can be kind to these girls and accept just one of them as toll payment. Gracious girl! You are a real scholar, expert in the art of selfishness. You, expert in the art of selfishness. And you just,
on the girl with withered limbs?
Oh, you girl with withered limbs. A man like me is embarrassed even just to touch you.
When you're being mocked, you think people are praising you. There's a height of pride. And when a garland touches your head, you think everything becomes auspicious. Then Krishna's cousin entered the negotiations.
Oh, great king collector, please tell me what is the minimum payment of the
crown? I think that you are obviously an associate of Purnamasi. Being an associate of Purnamasi, what more can I actually tell you? This is very important, and these girls need to pay this toll.
That's right. You heard the toll collector. You have to pay this toll.
The final price is 1 billion coins, and that is the final answer. If they can't give me 1 billion coins, then give me the best girl, and the others can go away.
At that moment, Purnamasi, the presiding deity and manager of the Vrindavan pastimes, entered. She told Krishna,
oh, gentle boy, on whose head the sweetest girls place a crown. You may well desire this girl, but please know that she is this priceless. She cannot be worth with even 100,000 trillion coins.
Then Purnamasi expressed her heartfelt desire and blessed these glorious toll pastimes for Srimati Radharani and her friends to take place eternally with Krishna at this wonderful, joyous place of Dhangati.
Shri Gopadan Puja King, Shri Gopadan Parikrama King, Gopadanande! So I think that now we're going to have Shri Gopadan Puja. So now we will have Gopadan Puja, we will offer arati to Gopadan Hill, and then we'll circumambulate Gopadan Hill, and then following that, the prasadam will be served. It's heaven a sec, it's a
Hare Krishna. Let's have a nice round of applause for Maharaj. very entertaining and enlightening presentation, as Maharaj always does. And for those of you who have come for the first time today, I see a lot of you as students, and also guests who have come in for the first time. I hope you've enjoyed and imbibed the mood of Gomanam Puja and understood this festival. But I have some announcements, and I do require your attentiveness for a